Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a terrific service department that backs it all up every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
The 2-2 pitch. Line drive off the glove of the pitcher. Into right center field.
He's got Marsh
in. Here comes Marsh. He's heading home. The Phillies have won the ball game. It's a party at Citizens Bank Park. Wow. Look at the celebration. The Phillies win it 4-3 here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Amazing. He smoked that ball.
Yeah, he did. I was glad the same thing didn't happen to him that happened to Walker when they made that play earlier in the game.
Thing of beauty, baby.
What a night, huh? Matt, that's what winning baseball sounds like. All right, so what?
That's what I've been told.
Yeah. Okay.
The TV crew, by the way, at NBC Sports Philly, they were in Ashburn Alley doing the game last night, which was pretty neat to see. Yeah,
that's good. That's great. Okay, so let's. We don't have Jody yet, right? Just let me know when we do.
Yeah, we actually are. We're not going to be able to get him today because of that TV taping. So we're going to try for him later in the week.
That's fine. No problem. Yeah. I just want. Again, I didn't want to step on the possibility of a guest being on. That's all. So here's the Iowa situation now. This is the football part, right? The wrestling part's already been out there. The football part is more immediate because Penn State will play them in game four at Beaver Stadium. So Noah Shannon, who's been a two-year starter for them, and we have pointed out he is somebody we've talked about on the show, so this is not foreign territory for regular listeners. We have talked about going all the way back to when he pulled his name out to go to Indianapolis. Like, what are we doing here? Why'd you put him his name on the list? Well, in the end, not legally charged. So let's remember that. He was not legally charged, but he was facing NCAA sanctions, which we have talked about. And today, it was revealed he was suspended for the entire season. There are a total of five current Iowa football players facing NCAA suspensions for violating NCAA rules. We know three. We don't know the other two. So here are the three that we know. Noah Shannon is suspended for the year. Now, you have to wonder, I would think these people are appealing it, right? I would think. Noah Shannon is out for the year. Wide receiver Jack Johnson, who's a walk-on, has been charged with aggravated misdemeanors by the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. Aaron Bloom, backup kicker, has been charged with aggravated misdemeanors by the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. They're both accused of betting on Iowa football games while on the team. There are two other players that face NCAA suspensions But so far, their names have been withheld by Iowa Athletics because of FERPA regulations. The players have to say whether their name is released or not. Shannon gave his permission. There are also reports that the Iowa wrestling team, we already know about the four wrestlers that are suspended for the year, and there's two others, but that Iowa's wrestling team may face significant NCAA penalties along with all this. So among those who have been arrested so far, these are the people who have been arrested. Bloom and Johnson are two of them. Arlen Bruce, who transferred to Troy, I think.
Transferred to Troy?
Now, I think Reggie Bracy, the safety, he transferred to Troy. Bruce transferred to Oklahoma State. They've been charged. Former baseball player Garrett Christensen. Okay. Aaron Eulis, who transferred to Nebraska, so he was held out of their foreign trip. He was not allowed to go. And former student manager Owen O'Brien. And his has been somewhat documented here, O'Brien. Something I believe I have read, it's a couple thousand bets and it's totaling like $15,000. Yikes. And then Iowa State has had several former and current players. Jarrell Brock, former running back. Uzurike Eke, the former defensive lineman. Dodd Souser, the offensive lineman. Tight end Deshaun Hanika. Jake Remsburg, offensive lineman. Isaiah Lee. Big 12 champion Pinero Johnson has also been charged. These are the guys that have been charged. And then, of course, there's Deckers, the quarterback at Iowa State's been charged. These are what the current rules look like from the NCAA. They've made adjustments to it. Athletes are banned from gambling on all NCAA-sponsored sports, including pro sports. Okay? The NCAA streamlined the penalties. For wagers totaling less than $200, there is no suspension. For those betting up to $500, it's the loss of 10% of a season. For up to $800 wagered, it's 20% of the season. For bets greater than $800, it's at least 30% suspension. If athletes bet on any sport at their school, they face a potential lifetime ban from the NCAA. But that is the story. Noah Shannon, as of right now, is out for the year. That's a big loss for the Iowa defensive front. Because Shannon is a very good player. He's very good. Johnson's a walk-on. They're looking for people to step up there. Okay, Bloom actually was fighting for the kicking job. But then the question is, who are the other two players? And their names have been withheld by Iowa Athletics. Who are they? It's one of those where do they end up releasing it because they get permission from the athletes? Or do we have to wait for the opener to see who is a no-show? There is no rejoicing in Mudville over this. None. Zero. And I know that there is such a rivalry in wrestling with Iowa that there are wrestling fans that have been, yeah, look what happened to them again. Oh, yeah, look what happened to the brands. And another excuse for them. It's like, hey, guys, slow down. Don't do that. Don't take joy in somebody else's misery. Only Matt's allowed to do that.
Bingo!
All right, don't take joy in it. You notice this is an Iowa State case. It's an Iowa investigation. I mean, look across the country. There are 37 states where this is legal. District of Columbia, it's legal. Hey. With NIL and cost of attendance and so forth, athletes have a little more money to play with now. I asked my class today. It's a class of college students, obviously, that are 20 to 22 years of age. I asked, I said, look, you don't have to reveal this if you don't want. I said, this is up to you. I'm just doing this because I was doing a section on gambling today. I talked about gambling and about social media. Gambling, social media, and adapting your whatever you do to your audience, that you have to check your own personal interests in at the door. In other words, you can't sit there and talk about Yankee baseball on the show all day. Oh, sorry.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
You can talk about the Phillies once in a while. We do carry them. but that was what today's topics were in class. I mean, I'll get around to how to construct the sportscast and so forth, which is their first project. But there are certain things you want to talk to them about. And when I asked them, how many of you in the class, I said, you don't have to answer, how many of you have placed a bet, a legal wager? And over 80% of the hands went up. These are 20 to 22-year-olds. Over 80% of the hands went up in the classroom. Now, was I surprised by that? No, I was not. I pretty much got the answer I expected because it's a question I've asked last spring and I asked last fall, too. So this is three different semesters now where I've actually openly asked the question. And again, they didn't have to volunteer it unless they wanted to. And a little bit better than 80% of the class put their hands up. Now, these are college students, 20 to 22, just like the wrestlers, the baseball players, the football players at Iowa. These would be their peers. Now, the point I made to them in class was, it's your money, you can do whatever you want, you know, you're not playing. I said, but my recommendation and my advice would be don't ever bet on a game you're covering because it'll then, one way or the other, jade your opinion about what you're seeing and how you're covering it because it then becomes too personal. That's as far as I took that part because it's a broadcasting class. They are not athletes in class. But when I'm looking at young people, and I did not ask how much they bet, I did not. I've had students volunteer it to me before, but I did not ask this group, nor was anything volunteered. But when you have a little bit better than 80% of the class, and I have 20 students in class, I think there were only three people that put their hand up today. Okay. These are the peers of those who have been suspended. And I didn't ask that question today in Iowa City. I asked the question at State College, Pennsylvania. As I pointed out in the opening half hour, coaches have certain fears. Administrators have certain fears. And one of them is that 2 to 3 a.m. phone call. Like, oh no, what's going on? What's happening? And another one on the list happens to be this. Because it's easy to do. I remember somebody was complaining about the potential of a casino going into the Nittany Mall, which is still, it's not there yet. But eventually it's going to be. And somebody said, oh, what could possibly go wrong with that with all these students on campus? And I looked at somebody and said, it's irrelevant. It would have sports book in it. I said, it's irrelevant if it's there. I said, people don't drive out to sports book. Now, they may drive out to play blackjack or whatever in a casino, and then maybe wander over to sports book and place a couple of wagers. Or they may go to one of the restaurants, get a bite to eat, gamble a little bit, then place at sports book. For the most part, though, when people are making wagers, they're doing it on their phone. It's easy. convenient, not difficult. And that's why everybody in athletics, whether it happens to be an NFL team or a college football team, or maybe, I mean, and who knows? I mean, high school kids can do it. Well, there's age limit. What? You can't use... I mean, some of these that you've seen over time, people have used other names in some of these investigations, like their mother's maiden name, something, whatever, and placed it under that. I mean, there's been a lot of ways to try and get around it, which tells you right away when they're trying to get around it, they know it's not right. But every program from Seattle to Miami, from Orono to San Diego, there isn't a single coach that isn't worried about that phone call that Kirk Ferentz and Fran McCaffrey, and I don't know the name of the baseball coach there, or Campbell up at Iowa, Matt Campbell. I mean, you don't think they all sat there and went, oh, you got to be kidding me. Ugh. And this isn't a case of not being preached to about it. This is not a case of not having rules posted all over the place. People either choose to listen or they don't. People are either overcome by the temptation to do it or they're not. Or they'll never find me, I'll get away with it. What's happened now in the last 3 months, and I think the one that should be alarming to anybody in sports, that's participating in sports, what's alarming should be to all of them, is what happened with Alabama baseball. That bet was placed in Ohio at Great America Ballpark, when the Reds were on the road, the A's. So there's nobody at Great America Ballpark except casinos open. The wager was placed in Ohio, and they tracked it back to Tuscaloosa. That should be alarming to anybody in sports. It wasn't like it was placed in Birmingham. It was placed in Cincinnati. Really? And they figured it out? That should be a wake-up call for anybody. And it's going to get to the point, and I don't know if this will happen in college stadiums, so I don't know. But in pro stadiums, it's going to end up being a lot like England. They're going to have kiosks in there, in arenas, stadiums, ballparks. That'll be the next transitional step. And you can make prop bets on that. I think Aaron Judge will walk 3 times today. And then Matt looking back at Lisa saying, do you have another dollar? Just need one more.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder.
I only had one on me. I don't carry a lot of cash.
And then I get a look, and then we move on.
Oh, you get more than a look. Should say something. And that's a funny thing, because I said, now full disclosure, how many bets do you think I've made in my lifetime?
That would be Zipola.
Yep. Haven't made any. It just, it's something where it doesn't even remotely intrigue me. It just doesn't. And it's just a personal, certain things don't intrigue me. Playing fantasy football doesn't intrigue me. I mean, I've gone to a lot of casinos. And a lot of times I've walked through them to get to the restaurant. It's just not me. I haven't played a slot machine, I haven't played blackjack. I don't have interest in it. That's just a personal thing. That's not me moralizing. Not even close. It's just all personal preference. And I understand for some people, hey, they all, it's fun for them. There's a thrill for them. And that's fine. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I'm a very modest gambler. Like, I'll do the slots, but I, like, bet the minimum most. Unless I'm feeling pretty good, then maybe I'll try it. But that's about it. But I can't say I've ever bet on a game. I've done a couple of, like, those fun, like, $5, $10 pools for, like, March Madness and stuff like that. But
sure.
I've never actually done, like, a full bet at a wagering place. Like, I'm not on BetMGM and all these other crazy apps that are out there now.
That's, you know, and there's zero wrong with that. It's legal, and people can do it. But people who are involved in the sport, you can't do it. You can't do it. Now, you can place wagers on the presidential election overseas and things like that. Well, that's different. Right? If you're involved in sports, sure, it has nothing to do with sports. But if you're involved in any way in sports, and that's what I tried to tell everybody today. And I said, look, Penn State's playing Iowa. I use this as an example in class. I said, Penn State's playing Iowa on September 22nd. I said, it's the same night as the Notre Dame-Ohio State game. I said, if you guys wanted to throw a couple dollars down on Notre Dame and Ohio State, you're not covering the game? I said, sure. I said, but if you're covering Penn State-Iowa, you're covering the game. I said, I'd strongly recommend you don't do that because it would then jade your coverage of it. One way or the other, pro or con. I said, another game? I said, no. I said, you're not covering it. Who cares? It's your life. It's your money. But yeah. But don't rejoice over somebody else going through this. Don't ever do that. All right? Because there isn't a single coach on a single team that isn't worried about this. They all are. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties and great deals right now. It's the end of the year. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it all up. Every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummels Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Sounds like you're ready to add something.
I am, yes. And actually, I forgot about this earlier in the show, or else I would have gone into it then. So Jack Swarbrick was on the Dan Patrick Show today. They're actually doing the show live in Ireland the rest of the week on WKOK, since in advance of Notre Dame and Navy.
Right, sure.
So, of course, he's asked a series of questions about everything going on in college football right now with realignment and stuff like that. So he's asked about the Stanford-Cal situation with the ACC. Mm-hmm. And he says we have to do everything that we can to get two good academic institutions, some of the best academic institutions in the country, in the ACC. They have to have a chance at that. Do you hear yourself? This has nothing to do with academics, Jack. This is about what happens on the football field and brands and a little bit of men's basketball, to which those two schools have squadola anymore. This is not 1970 when Notre Dame and Cal and Stanford have these great rivalries that you refuse to accept, and refuse to accept that Notre Dame's not going to make it as an independent much longer, the longer this continues. Get that out of your head. This is not about academics. Stop it. You look stupid the more and more you say it. He's got to get over this. He's got to get over this independent thing and being stubborn about it. Everybody in Notre Dame has to forget about it, and or else this football program is going to go nowhere.
So you're saying he's not being smart about academics?
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
Precisely.
Okay. Number one, you're correct. All these moves are made because of football, all right, and the money of it. But when you do talk to, okay, once that's done, you know, you're allowed to be selective as to who you go after. And let's take the Big Ten. It's unspoken in the Big Ten, but it's an informal understanding that they would like to have AAU schools. Because once the expansion is made, and it's about football, and it's about men's basketball, and how you handle athletics, and about TV contracts, no question. But then on an everyday basis, there is value adding certain schools that do bring with them research and academic components that help make it an even better move for everybody within the conference. Like, again, not it's not the reason why. That's not why this is happening. But then once it does happen, well, are there benefits day in and day out? Are there benefits over the course of 52 weeks of having added institutions that bring with it research, development, that enhance the conference from that point of view? You know, as an added, quote, bonus to what's going on. And yeah, that does happen. I mean, Washington, Oregon, USC, UCLA are all AAU schools, as is Rutgers and Maryland. Nebraska was when they were let in. Then about a year afterward, then they were bounced out of the AAU, but it was for a lot of technical reasons with their medical center and with their agriculture college or something, whatever. But it, you know, once it's said and done, it's a, you know, about football. It's about TV. It's about contracts. It is about, to some much smaller extent, men's basketball. Okay? It's about all that. Okay? But then once it's done, is there any benefit to the partnership of being within a conference academically as to who ended up in the conference? And it turns out that there is. Now, that's not the primary reason. That's not the reason. That's not, you know, we all know what the reasons happen to be. Okay? We all know what the reasons happen to be. Got it. But when the dust settles, is that in the end all that they bring to the conference? Football, basketball, and other sports. Is that all that they bring? And a market and a brand? Well, actually, it turns out that no. Actually, there is actually some academic benefit once the dust settles as to what they all can bring to the table on research and development. You hate my answers.
No, I get that. That part I didn't totally consider, which is true. Right. And that's why you've seen that growth in the Big Ten.
Right, that's when the dust settles. You know, first of all, you are looking at somebody that is as part of this, you know, are they really an academic fit with us? The question does come up because the presidents are the ones that make the vote. The football coaches, the basketball coaches, the athletic directors, they're not the ones that go thumbs up or thumbs down on these things. It's the presidents and chancellors that do. So they have to know something about the institutions they're bringing in, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And they're also bringing them in into a, you know, they're going to be joining their world, which is a world they are eminently familiar with, and they must in some ways like the fit of that as well, beyond what the obvious happens to be of a football, brands, markets, TV, some men's basketball, things like that. We know those are the primary considerations going in the direction. once it comes down to it, there is this additional component that is there forever. The academic collaboration that happens within a conference on research and development. It just turns out it's a big plus. And you can't stand my answers.
Well, I did look it up just now. Of the 71 AAU schools, four of them are only in the ACC. So from that point, get it. But again, you're looking at this from Notre Dame's perspective.
My guess would be Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, and Georgia Tech.
Yes, that's correct. Very good.
You are shocked that I would even remotely know that.
I am not shocked at all, actually. I thought you would probably know that. But I guess from Notre Dame's perspective, you look at it from the academic view now, since we're on this topic, a good majority of the Big Ten's in the AAU. So when you're thinking about this going forward, wouldn't they want to also join that on an academic front, too?
Well, it should be pointed out in the ACC that Miami has just joined the AAU. They're the fifth one.
Yes, right. Yeah, yes, I did see that.
So Miami is in. Notre Dame is now in. All right. They're an AAU member now. And for the Big Ten, 17 of the 18 would be AAU members, and Nebraska's trying to work their way back into it. It does come into consideration, and it's not something that's not talked about. I mean, they're not going to sit there and expand as nothing community college. Okay? You're like, okay, what do we get out of that? Well, let's see. We get no market, no football, no basketball, and no academic help. For example, the University of Chicago is still a part of the academic arm of the Big Ten. You have your list of AAU schools there. I'm sure Chicago's right there.
It is there, yes.
Yes, they are still a part of the Big Ten on the academic side. So there you go. Now, what do Stanford and Cal bring? I mean, we know about athletics. We've talked about ad nauseum. Cal's really struggled a lot with their athletic program. They've lost a lot of money. Stanford has shown less and less inclination in athletics, and they've won. Look at all the national championships they've won. They've also won a lot of national championships in sports that a lot of schools don't have. That part of the story is never told. It's easy to go, hey, we got 11. Like, going, okay, we start looking like, okay, well, we don't have sailing. We don't have, we don't have beach volleyball, things like that. The Hall of Fame, the the Veterans Committee has recommended Randy Gradishar of the Broncos, Steve McMichael of the Bears, and former Raiders wide receiver Art Powell for recommendation. They have the list here. By the way, all three are fine with me. Here's the list of other players that are under Hall of Fame consideration. Kenny Anderson, the former Bengals quarterback. He deserves a long look. Maxie Bond, who just passed away this week, who played for the Eagles, primarily the Rams, and a little bit with the Redskins at the end. A good player. Roger Craig from the 49ers. To me, he absolutely should be in. I'm big on Roger Craig. Joe Jacoby of Washington absolutely should be in. I thought he was terrific. Okay. Albert Lewis, defensive back. Eddie Metter, the old Rams corner. Sterling Sharp from the Packers. This one should be absolutely in. Otis Taylor of the Chiefs.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought Otis Taylor was a great player. And then Al Wistert, the tackle, defensive tackle. Never only know of him, never saw him play, obviously. He played from 43 to 51. And no, I wasn't alive.
Almighty!
You cruel people. There's several. I'm all for Gradishar. I'm all for McMichael. I'm all for Art Powell. Powell's a terrific receiver. Anderson, I'd be okay with. Bond was good. Craig, absolutely. Joe Jacoby, absolutely. Lewis, Metter, Sharp, Wister. Now, again, I don't know really much about Al Wister except what I've read. But Otis Taylor, I thought Otis Taylor was a great player.
Yeah, to me, that should be a layup. But
yeah, I mean, layups to me should be Craig, Jacoby, and Taylor. They should be the layups in this group. But that's just me. Okay. We'll take a break. We'll wrap things up in a moment. Who are you pitching tonight, by the way?
Good question.
Do you follow your team?
Not as closely, let's just say. I was curious. I did follow a couple of the kids that came up last night. I did follow them, but that was about my only interest.
Are they playing, what, the Nationals?
Yes.
Tonight, you got... Oh, Severino's on the mound tonight.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
L.
He's had some solid outings lately. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment.
No, senor!
You know what's bad? You know who your batting average leader is? Gleyber Torres at 265.
I was about to say, yeah, it's probably Gleyber Torres now.
It's 265.
Yeah.
Right? The Yankees as a team are batting 229. Their slugging percentage is under 400.
21 runs in during this 9-game losing streak.
And Washington, you know, and then, by the way, the Nationals have a really nice young team. That's a nice young team they have there. That's why you notice Rizzo and Martinez both got contract extensions. They've got something. They're hitting 260 as a team. I mean, they're hitting 31 points higher than the Yankees as a team. Wow. All right, we'll wrap it up here in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I just feel like I took all the steam out of your life by telling you Severino is pitching tonight.
Let's just say it was pretty much salt in the wound at this point.
Salt in the wound? You're one day closer to your next win.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
No. Not going along with it. All right, so Noah Shannon of Iowa was suspended for the season. Now, you would expect he'll appeal. But it is... something that this is awfully tough. I mean, it's they're lectured to about it constantly. I don't care if it's the NFL or college. They're constantly being told about it, and it's every coach in the country fears this. Now, Jack Johnson's a walk-on wide receiver. Bloom, the kicker, is the backup kicker, but it's not like he hasn't kicked in games before, because he has. Shannon is a big-time player. He's really good. But the question now is, what about the two names that haven't been released yet? Who might that be? And you're just wondering about it because Penn State plays them. So who's there and who isn't? And that's what's we're waiting to find out. Will the other, you know, will we have to wait to the opening game of the season to see who's in the lineup and who's not? Possible. Because under FERPA laws, they need the permission of the athlete to release the name. And the Iowa governing body is the one that looked into all this. And who knows what tipped them off? I have no idea. Who knows? That's why so far it's just Iowa and Iowa State. But when you have, I mean, it's all over the country. And again, it's legal in, 37, 38 states now in the District of Columbia. It's legal. Okay. Well, it creates, whether you're the Detroit Lions, which have been, which they've been hit by it, or whether you're Iowa, Hawkeye football and basketball, you've been hit by it. Right? And believe me, everybody around the league is looking, everybody in the NFL is looking around saying, who's next? You're the NBA, you're a general manager waking up every day going, I hope we're all right. I'm a college coach. You wake up every day. Are we all right? All right, we're okay? Good. I'm an NHL coach. I wake up every day. GM. We're okay, right? I mean, you're hoping that, the initial wave brings with it the ramifications that it then keeps others from doing it, saying, look at the consequences of this.